My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Flar, we got a random question for you. USA Basketball, actually it was the NBA, tweeted out all the guys' photo day for USA Basketball.
Okay.
And asked him, can you spin a basketball on your finger?
Okay.
And they didn't tell him to do it. They just asked, can you? And they all then tried.
Okay.
Steph Curry and LeBron James cannot spin a basketball on their finger.
Which feels really?
Yeah, I know. It feels surprising, and yet I don't find it's not a correlatable skill to the game whatsoever.
But does that seem like something you would do just standing around playing basketball your entire life?
You would think.
Spinning a basketball on your...
Or you'd...
Those guys probably didn't stand around a whole lot.
Yeah, they probably...
Those guys would like hold a basketball while they're sitting in the classroom or something. That's just probably a movie trope, but still.
Yeah, but it's surprising, you know? And yet it isn't.
Not all running backs hang on with a football?
I guess. I don't know.
So we started talking about other skills that people have in sports that aren't translatable to the game. And one of the things Gator brought up was the guys that take a golf wedge and just tap the ball in the air over and over and over and over again. You never do anything like that in the game. It doesn't really impact your swing plane or
like people saw Tiger do it and they're like, what? And this is 25 years ago. And now all of a sudden everybody can do it, but it means nothing because the golf swing is about the swing plane. And yes, there's hand eye coordination for sure, but I don't think
if you ask a golfer,
being able to bounce the golf ball around has anything to do with a great golf swing.
At no point would somebody who's learning the game, would a golf coach say, hey, tap the golf ball on the wedge and that'll help you with your swing.
If you talk to a scratch golfer, I would say 99% of them can do that as many times in a row as they want.
Well, we are going to ask you, can you do it?
I can.
You can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would do. You go up and then you go between the legs, behind the back.
You do that?
And then you pop it up and you try to hit it out of the air like Tiger did in the commercial all those years ago.
You can do all that?
You know
that?
Why? Because you sit there, you're waiting for the slow-ass group in front of you, and you tap the wedge up in that, and then you hit the ball to the tee markers, and you go back and forth. And
Can you do that? You can tap it through the legs?
Yeah. I mean, you drop it every now and then.
This guy,
humble brag.
Wow. All right.
Well, we did ask.
He also hit it right into the hole. A lot of time on the golf course, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did ask.
Okay. But do you spend more time in the golf course trying that, or more time at home trying it?
I mean, I don't sit in my living room doing it or anything. But
are you sure?
Maybe. I do have a golf club in my living room.
Okay.
The wife hates it, but I keep it there if I'm bored.
It is. Swing it back and forth. Yeah. All right.
Don't say swing it back and forth and you have your wife around. Don't say that.
Gotcha.
You're in trouble.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Talent here in the building.
Yeah, there is some talent. Yeah. Yep. I mean, right now, my guess is he's probably with Renko gone, he could be the best golfer.
Yeah.
Probably.
More than likely.
Renko. Okay. So the Tigers. Look, I understand that this is, it's kind of a disastrous season in every way, and that a team that garnered some interest early in the year had basically the plug pulled on the TV broadcast for many in our audience, and as it all kind of went to hell, like the season started to unravel. And so we're talking to an audience that, and we're not going to inundate you with stuff that you're not watching or caring about, but why do I watch? All right, I watch for a couple of reasons. I watch for what I think is possible. And by that, I mean, I watch for Cole Keith. Cole Keith was hitting 143 after April. His first 99 at-bats, he had 15 hits, which included one extra base hit. In the last 2 months, he's got 179 at-bats, 54 hits, eight doubles, one triple, and eight home runs, including one last night, that ran his hitting streak to a modest seven games, but it's the best of his young career. I'm watching to watch Cole Keith blossom.
Yeah.
And it's happening, which is awesome. And I watch for stuff that isn't as possible, but I just kind of watch out of sheer hope. And it brings us back to what we talked about 2 days ago. Carter Montero. It was yesterday, actually, what happened 2 days ago, but we talked about yesterday. Carter Montero, whose last two starts have been great. And his last start was fantastic. And he generates swings and misses. And he was billed as a guy that they saw that had stuff, but it just hadn't translated. But I watch for what I think is possible in Cole Keefe, and then just out of the sheer hope on a bit of a flyer, Carter Montero, who is a 16-year-old when they signed him as an international free agent, and 8 years later, here he is. And I watch for stuff to get defined the other way. Guys, okay, he's not the answer. Which brings us to last night's starter, Kenta Maeda. The Tigers organization has gone into the season with a goal of almost treating the season like an entire spring training for 2025. They weren't going to sign veterans to block younger players that they wanted to give a chance to play. They weren't, you know, Torque Green, Parker Meadows, Colt Keith. They weren't going to. Now, certainly there was no reason to sign anyone to replace a Riley Green, but or to be there. Torque, they didn't see
Kerry
it at
Carpenter
all.
Was
Kerry Carpenter was part of it. Now Wenzel Perez is part of it. Justin Hemring-Malloy now is part of it. And we were starting to name, that's like eight guys who could be a young core. I think we're up to eight. That they want to give those guys opportunities. Along those lines, Casey Mize comes off the injured list next week. And it stands to reason that their next move is to take Maeda out of the rotation. Because if you are consistent, and they have been pretty consistent, I think we can foreshadow that Maeda will either be put on the injured list with a back or outright released. Because consistently along those lines, there's no way that Maeda should start over Keider Montero.
No, there's not. But I mean, there's also no way that Javi Baez should be in the lineup.
Okay, but I think if there was an alternative to Javi Baez, an acceptable alternative.
Okay, fair enough. Yep. Then you're right, because I agree with it, because that's the problem with Javi at shortstop is that, you know, Ryan Kreidler got an opportunity and there's nothing there. Zach McKinstry can play shortstop, but that's not much of a better option there, even though actually from a hitting standpoint, they both might be at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But fielding-wise, Javi is still the best fielding shortstop they have right now, which is why he's there. But yeah, to your point, it would make all the sense in the world for them to find something with. And I think it's easy to say, look, his velocity is way down.
Mm-hmm.
Something's wrong. Either the time, Father Time caught up with him and the baseball guys have said, all right, that's it. You've had a nice career and now you're done. Or is something going on there? Because he's nowhere near what he has been in his career. Now, a couple years ago, he missed the whole season. And he came back last season and was okay. He was like an average pitcher, average starting pitcher. With, I think, an above average whip. It was less than 1.2, which is actually pretty good. But this year, that number is 1.5 above.
Mm-hmm.
His ERA is almost two full points higher than his highest ERA in his career. This is a horrible season for Kenta Maeda. He can't get out of the first inning sometimes. He's given up almost a run per first inning in his starts. I think he's made 16 starts and he's given up 13 earned runs in the first inning. You're not going to win games doing that. You're not going to survive if you keep giving up runs like that in the first inning.
And that's why he can't be repurposed as a bullpen guy, because your first inning might be your inning.
Well, when you top out at 89, no, you're not going to be a bullpen arm. It's just that's not happening. You know, guys that can't throw for speed anymore, you better be really accurate. You better have a command like nobody's business.
Yep.
And he doesn't. He doesn't have it. So Does it stand reason? Does it stand a reason that they could put him on the IL? I think so. I think that makes sense if they can find something that, you know, that legitimately says he's got a problem here. But because of his service time, I'm not sure if they can just send him down to work on stuff.
I don't think they can. He's
got $10 million next year. I mean, we talk about eating Javi's contract at the end of the year, and that's close to $75 million. I mean, could you tack on the $10 million from Maeda?
Well, I'll start with...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The idea that Harris didn't sign the Baez contract, this could be go into the check minus and a legitimate check minus for the new GM. I don't expect him to be perfect, but he did give this guy a 2-year deal. And if they decide for whatever reason not to release him or have him start and continue to start over Keider Montero or, quite frankly, Matt Manning, who hasn't exactly gone to Toledo and torn it up, but if the organization, and they have been consistent, and I don't love it, but they've been consistent. Consistency would call for Montero not to start again or to be at the end of the leash because they've got young guys now that... Maeda. The consistency would be to not have him block a young arm.
Right.
And so I'm not mad at him yet. I suspect that they will move on from Maeda rather soon because... there's no justification for him blocking anybody, any young arm start.
No, I mean, his ERA has jumped up. Now it's even higher than what it was. Now it's at 7.26. 7.26.
Yep.
He shouldn't start another game this year. That's just, and again, you're looking for who's coming. And you said, we brought up Casey Mize. Casey Mize could be coming off the IL and ready to go. Okay. Yep. Casey Mize has been a lot better than Maeda. And Casey Mize started to come into his own and then suffers the hamstring injury while fielding a pop-up, which sucks because you don't want to lose that momentum. Like, you're starting to figure it out. That's great because, unfortunately, Ty Madden and Matt Manning have not gotten it going at Toledo. Neither looks like they're the next guy. Manning pitched last night and wasn't good. So it's a struggle because the next guy appears to be Jackson Job, who's double A, and do you want to rush him along or do you want it to happen organically? You know, if he continues to pitch lights out in the minors, he'll matriculate quickly enough, but I don't think you want to just bring him up because this guy's out. But Casey Mize has to do his job. Jack Flaherty has to be on point tomorrow.
My God, it would be very useful.
Jack Flaherty is the linchpin here. He's got to be good the rest of the way so they can, you know, figure out what's going on. Either you get something for him in trade, or is he a part of this team's future if you make him a qualifying offer? And if you do and he wants to enter free agency, okay, then do the Tigers get a first round, a post-first round pick because of it? There's a lot happening with Flaherty. But part of a lot happening with Flaherty is there's not much in the minors right now to bring up.
No.
The pitchers they like are in the lower levels.
248-539-9797. But all you need is one. And the one's here. Keider Montero deserves the next start when Mize comes back.
He deserves the next start, but he also hasn't had a track record of being this good pitcher.
But Cole Keith didn't have a track record, and they signed him to a contract.
He had a track record in the minors.
He did, but you cannot justify a Maeda over Montero start. And maybe one more, but Mize, I mean, he might get it because Mize comes off the DL, I think, a week from yesterday. So Maeda may get one more because they need him, but
I think your point is very, very clear. With Maeda does not deserve another start.
No. And if he gets it, it's because Mize isn't back.
Yeah, we don't have arms, and we need to, you know, who do you want it? We can't keep doing a bullpen outing. I agree with that. No, you can't keep doing a bullpen outing. And don't get me started on the bullpen and their issues, but nice to see Bo Brisky pitch well.
Yep. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.